Now today I want to share with you a miracle that Jesus did, which is really kind of the Super Bowl of miracles. And the reason I say it's the Super Bowl of miracles, because it's the only miracle that's talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now listen, as we get into this miracle, here's what I want you to do. There is a danger in this miracle. And the danger is this. Yeah, I've heard all that before. Jeff, I know about that miracle. I've heard about that miracle. I've read about that miracle. And so you kind of tune out and you start thinking about other things and you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that. Listen, God has something that He wants to speak to your heart about today. So you listen extra close.
He can heal every scar.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of From His Heart with Dr. Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles with probably one of the most important questions anyone could ask. Here it is. Do you trust God? I mean, really trust Him? It's easy to hold on to your talents and treasures and troubles, but what we really need to do is learn to release them into the hands of the Almighty God of the universe. Pastor Jeff Shreve is going to show us how to do that today with a lesson called In the Hands of God. It's from the series, It's All About Jesus. If you'd like more information about today's message or the current series or how to get Pastor Jeff's insightful booklet called When God Doesn't Make Sense, go to fromhisheart.org or I'll tell you more about it later. Now though, open your Bible to John chapter 6. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to explain the peace and the joy that we can have when we trust our lives into the hands of God.
Now today I want to share with you a miracle that Jesus did, which is really kind of the Super Bowl of miracles. And the reason I say it's the Super Bowl of miracles, because it's the only miracle that's talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Really, it was more than 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children. It was really the feeding of probably 15,000, 20,000 people. And it's the only miracle talked about by all the gospel writers. Now, John wrote way after Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. And John doesn't really like to tell about miracles that the other guys told about. Most of his miracles, he's got seven that he really focuses in on. They're all different, with the exception of Jesus walking on the water. So five of his seven miracles, we've never heard of before. We wouldn't know about them except John told us about them. But he does tell us about the miracle of the feeding of the multitude, because it's the Super Bowl of miracles. Because remember, John's whole purpose for writing is so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in His name. He is writing to show that it's all about Jesus, and that's our series. It's all about Jesus. See, John says, listen, it's not about John the Baptist. It's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. It's not even about the Scripture, because the people in his day, they worshiped the Scripture. Jesus had to say to them, you guys search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. The Bible points to Jesus. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Elijah points to Jesus, and Moses points to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so this miracle, the miracle of the feeding of the multitude, the miracle of the loaves and the fish, it emphasizes John's point that Jesus really is God. He is God in the flesh. See, the feeding of the 5,000, the multitudes, it's a creative miracle. You guys know the story. He's going to take a little kid's lunch and he is going to multiply it. He's going to create loaves and create fish out of nothing. You know, he just takes the little bit and all of a sudden it becomes a ton, and he just creates. And it's also a miracle, not only of creation, but it's a miracle that shows that the Lord is interested in meeting needs. And in this miracle, above all miracles, he met, it was the most widespread of miracles because so many people experienced it. If you have 15,000, 20,000, some have said maybe as many as 25,000 when you counted all the kids around, 20,000, 25,000 people experienced that miracle. So that's why it's discussed in the Bible, in all four of the Gospels. It's the Super Bowl of miracles that Jesus performed. Now listen, as we get into this miracle, here's what I want you to do. There is a danger in this miracle. And the danger is this. Yeah, I've heard all that before. Jeff, I know about that miracle. I've heard about that miracle. I've read about that miracle. And so you kind of tune out and you start thinking about lunch and you start thinking about other things and you're thinking about the game and you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that. Listen, God has something that he wants to speak to your heart about today. So you listen extra close. John chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a great multitude was following him because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed it to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is of a truth the prophet who is to come into the world." Such a great story, the Super Bowl of miracles. And you know what's sad? The Bible says in Mark that when the disciples experienced that miracle, they still didn't understand. They didn't gain any insight. They were there and they heard and they saw and they tasted and they touched and they were involved, but they didn't gain any insight. So let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts so that we would gain insight. Now I want to share with you 3 lessons from this story. What can we learn from the miracle of the loaves and the fish? 3 important lessons. Lesson number 1, Jesus has a heart for people. He has a heart for people. Now, the background of this story is not given in John's gospel, but when you look at the other gospels, you find out what has been going on. Jesus has been ministering, and he just got word that Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. John the Baptist died about a year before Jesus was going to go to the cross. This is the spring of the year around Passover time, and it was going to be next Passover when Jesus was going to be condemned and crucified. And so John died about a year before Jesus, and Jesus is heavy-hearted with John's death, for he loved John, and that was his cousin. And then it just spoke to him about the fact that his time was coming to a close. So Jesus had tried to get the disciples to go into a boat to go on the other side of the Sea of Galilee for a little alone time. But the people saw him and they followed after him and they ran on foot along the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd met him as soon as he got off the boat. And so here's Jesus and he wants to be by himself just with his disciples, but the crowd doesn't let him. And it would have been easy for him to say, "Hey, let's get back in the boat, let's go somewhere else." But he doesn't do that. Why? Because he has a heart for people and he feels for people. Look what it says in Mark's gospel about this event. "And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." He felt compassion. That word compassion comes from the Greek words splanchnon, which means literally a pain in your gut. Jesus felt pain for the people. Compassion, the word in English, means to suffer with. Compassion. Passion is suffer, calm is with, to suffer with. And when you have compassion for someone, you feel what they feel, and you suffer with them, and you hurt for them. Jesus hurts for people. People who are going through a hard time, people who are struggling, people who cried themselves to sleep this week. Jesus knows, and Jesus has compassion for you. He has a heart for you. He feels for you. And not only does he feel for you, but he makes time for people. He makes time for you. He was busy, and things were on his plate, and things were on his to-do list. And he was trying to get away with the disciples for a little discipleship time just with these 12 guys. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a crowd of 20,000. What's he going to do? Is he going to send them away? Is he going to say, no, we got to go somewhere else? Let's go on the way further side of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida, where they were, is on the northern part, the northeastern part. Well, he could have said, let's go on the southeastern part. There's no way they can run all the way around there. We'll just cut through on the boat, and then we'll be free of them. He didn't do that. Jesus made time for people. I had a friend of mine when I first got in the ministry. He told me this. He said, Jeff, he said, remember this, people are not an interruption. They are our reason for being. My seminary professor, Wayne McDill, used to argue this. He said, if there were no people, there would be no reason to preach. There would be no reason to have ministry. Ministry only exists because there are people. And have you ever noticed that it's so easy to do ministry and not want to be with people? Have you ever met pastors that don't seem to like people? I've had people tell me that before. They talk about so-and-so, you know, he's a household name in pastors. They say, yeah, he doesn't really like people. It's like, wow, seems like that's kind of like something you need to do is like people if you're going to be a pastor. Well, Jesus likes people and loves people and wants to be around people. Listen, Jesus makes time for people. And the good thing about that is Jesus will make time and take time for you. Blind Bartimaeus had nothing to give to Jesus. He had no money. He was a poor blind beggar sitting on the gate by Jericho. And he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus stopped for him, for a poor blind beggar, because Jesus takes time for people. In this situation, it would have been easy for him to say, I don't really want to be around people right now, but they were like a sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion for them, and he said, I'll take time for them. And he spent all day teaching them and healing them. Jesus has time for you and for me. Do you remember as he's dying on the cross, he takes time to talk to the thief on the cross and bring salvation to the thief on the cross. He makes time and takes time for people. And he cares about the needs of people. Now the disciples, they're saying, hey, Jesus, it's getting late. We're in a desolate place. This Bethsaida in the area of Galilee, it's a desolate place. It's just like green grass everywhere and there's nothing around here. And it's getting late and you need to send these people away, because they're going to get hungry and we don't have anything, and send them away. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. See, the disciples are like, shoo, scat, get out of here. We're done now. Services are over. Come back next week. Jesus is like, no, I don't send people away. You give them something to eat, and he cares about the needs of people, and he, in this story, is going to meet their physical need. They were hungry. He's going to provide them bread because they're hungry, and he doesn't want to send them away hungry. Now, he uses this, as John points out in John chapter 6, he uses this miracle to teach them that he's the bread of life. Because Jesus is not just interested in physical needs. He's interested in deeper needs, which are spiritual needs. But he's interested in both. And he uses physical needs to meet physical needs to speak to them about the deepest need, the spiritual need. But listen, what does all this tell us at the start of this story? Jesus has a heart for people. Make it more personal. Jesus has a heart for you and for me. I did a funeral this past week, and it was relatively unexpected. dear lady in our church, had been sick for a while, didn't know what it was, then found out she had cancer, and inside of 3 months, she died. And her family was heartsick and heartbroken. And the questions come up, why? She was a relatively young lady, 52 years old. Why? And listen, we don't know why on things like that. You just know who. You just point them to the Lord and you say, you know what? Jesus knows and Jesus cares and Jesus has a heart for you and Jesus is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So that's the very first lesson that we learn as this miracle unfolds. Jesus cares about people, has a heart for people. Lesson number two, Jesus wants people to grow spiritually. Watch what happens. So he's been teaching all day. He's been healing all day. The disciples say, send the multitudes away. And then Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. We're not going to send them away. And then in verse 5, he says to Philip, who was from this area, from Bethsaida, he says, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Hey, Philip, you're from this area. Where are we going to buy bread for all these people, these 20,000 people? He asked them that question. Now, remember this. Any time in the Bible when the Lord asks a question, he is not asking for information. It's not like he doesn't know. I've never really spent much time here, Philip. Do you know much about this place? He created this place. He knows all about it. So he's not asking for information. Every question from the Lord is a test of faith. And this he was saying, verse 6, to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. It's a test for Philip. Okay, you're being tested by the Lord. He asks you a question. What does Philip do? Philip fails a test. See, Philip is a figurer. He's a guy that, he's got like a calculator brain. He's kind of figuring up and he's like, I've been counting heads, Lord. There are probably 20,000 people here. And he said, it would cost, if we worked this out, it would cost 200 denarii, 200 days' wages to be able to feed these people, just to give them a little bit. Nobody would be full. Everybody would just kind of have a bite. 200 days' wages. Lord, we don't have 200 days' wages in the money bag. We only have 175 denarii. I thought we had 185, but Judas says, no, just 175. Judas was a thief. He would steal. And so Philip just looked at it outwardly. And he said, this situation is impossible. Where are we to buy bread that these may eat? What kind of a question is that, Lord? No way. This is impossible. Because he did like so many of us do. He just saw everything in the natural. And in the natural, when you walk by sight tells you impossible. Impossible in this situation. And you might be facing a situation today in your marriage. You might be facing a situation today in your health. You might be facing a situation today in your finances. You might be facing a situation today at school. And you look at it and you say, as you do all of your calculations and all your figuring, you say, impossible. This is impossible. That's exactly what the children of Israel said when God said, go into the promised land, and they spied out the land for 40 days. And they said, hey, you know, it's a good land. They came back to the Israelites and to Moses. They said, it's a good land. But let me tell you, who occupies that land? Anakim is in the land. The giants, the sons of Anak. They were called Anakim, the sons of Anak. And Anak in the Hebrew means long neck. And so they said, there's the giraffe people. These giants are there. There's no way that we can take the land because they're giants and we are grasshoppers. And see, they just looked at things in the natural and they forgot the God factor. You say, what is the God factor? In every situation in life, you factor in God. You look this way, this way, this way, this way, and then you look up and you say, but God, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? I don't know, but But God, you know, it's like with Ezekiel. When the Lord showed him the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel chapter 37, and he said, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel has a great answer. He says, oh Lord, you know. I mean, it's just a safe answer. I don't know, it doesn't look like it, but you know, you can do anything. Let me tell you a good way to think of the word impossible. Impossible is really I'm possible with God. I'm possible with God. And you know what Joshua and Caleb said when the people started freaking out, saying, we can't go up against the giants in the promised land. Man, they said, hey, God has given us the land. And we're able to do anything that God has told us we can do. And their protection has been removed from them. And those Anakim are going to be our prey. They're going to be our food. Anakim is the breakfast of champions. It's what champions eat. And we're going to go and we're going to eat those guys up. That is a person who passes the test of faith. But in this situation, Philip failed the test. Every question from the Lord is a test of faith. And every test is designed, watch this, it's designed to stretch your faith. To stretch your faith. God puts you in situations and he puts me in situations to stretch us. But that when you stretch, it hurts, right? When you test your muscles, it hurts. If you can do a workout and you're not even winded when it's over, and you haven't even had a drop of sweat, you're not gonna get in shape like that. You're not gonna get strong like that. So with faith, the Lord puts us in situations that are gonna stretch us.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And, you know, maybe you're going through something right now that is a real stretch for you. Perhaps you can even feel like you're about to break. You have to remember that God is faithful, and he will not allow his children to be tested beyond their ability to endure it. You know, when some people go through tough times, they begin to doubt God and are confused at how he can allow these things to happen. But the truth, while God doesn't always make sense to us, he is in control, and he loves us beyond measure. Jeff has written a comforting and a helpful booklet called When God Doesn't Make Sense, and it'll help you better understand how to trust God even in the confusing times. This resource is our special thank you gift for your support this month to From His Heart of any amount. If you're able to help us this month with a gift of $35 or more, we'll also send you Jeff's 8-message CD series called It's All About Jesus. And that includes today's lesson, The Hands of God. To get When God Doesn't Make Sense and It's All About Jesus, just call us at 1-800-985-1530. 1-800-985-1530. Or simply go online to make your gift at fromhisheart.org. And thank you so much for helping us to tell the world the truth about God's grace. Well, thanks again for listening today. I'm Larry Nobles, and we pray the program has been a blessing to you and that we can be a blessing to you each and every day, including tomorrow, when Pastor Jeff will challenge us to trust God with everything in our lives, even when we think we have so little to offer the King of Kings.
See, little becomes much when you place it all in Jesus' hands. What do you have in your hands? See, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have much. Jeff, I'm not a person that has much wealth. I just have a little. I'm not a person who has much ability. I just have a little. And when you keep it in your hand, your little remains little.
We're going to learn that anything we place in God's hand will become big. That's Friday. Right here on From His Heart. This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.